Hello there. Welcome to the program. Come on in. Make yourself comfortable. I saved you a seat right up in the front here. Grab your coffee. Hope you got a snack with you. I'm Gary Zimak, and welcome to the show. We'll be here for the next 30 minutes. Today on the program, we'll take a look at the mass readings for Thursday of the 19th week in Ordinary Time. And also, I will play a recorded interview with Deacon Greg Kandra. I had him on the my morning show, Spirit in the Morning, earlier in the week, and we were talking about perfect Catholics. Now, before you think that's a good thing, his interview had to do with our Holy Father Pope Francis's comments about some of us, and I think we can all fall victim to this at times, some of us who think we're a little more perfect than we are. I think it's good to get shaken up a little bit. Jesus shakes us up all the time. If we look at his words, he's going to shake us up with some words today. And I think Pope Francis is really good about this as well. So Deacon Greg Kandra will be here. He does a lot of work on social media. He's very active on the internet. He's a blogger. He's a Catholic deacon from the Diocese of Brooklyn. And he worked for CBS News for, I think, 30 years. So he's a guy that's out in the world, and he really gets it. But he has a very unique knack for cutting right to the point and really challenging us. So we're going to hear from Deacon Greg on the program, including all of our regular features as well. So if you will, please join me in prayer as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the many things we forget to be able to thank you for. We thank you for the gift of our hearing, our sight, the ability to walk, the ability to think. If we have these gifts, we thank you for them. And if we don't, we might have trouble with our eyesight or our hearing, or our ability to walk. We thank you for the grace, and we continue to ask you for the grace to help us to be able to deal with these challenges. Father, we ask you to bless those who are sick and heal them, if you will. Help those who are anxious or lonely. Help those who struggle with doubt or despair. And please help those who are in a situation where they experience religious persecution of any kind. Father, we ask you to bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. We ask you to increase vocations. We ask you to help us to be lights shining in the darkness. Grant us the strength that we need to go out into the world and share your good news with everybody around us. Father, I ask you to speak through me on the program today, to speak through me, and let me be able to speak the message that you have for us today. I need a double dose of the Holy Spirit today, Father. So please let him come alive in me. I'm going to try to yield to the Holy Spirit today on the program and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. All right, ready to get started? Well, we got a great show today looking at these mass readings. Some good ones today. The Gospel, it's one of those tough ones. So many times we have our favorite Bible passages, don't we? We have those Bible passages where Jesus comforts us and gives us assurance. They're the ones we turn to when we're struggling, but oftentimes the ones that we really need are the ones that really challenge us. You're going to hear that today. Certainly will be a challenging gospel. I want to remind you that beginning on September the 4th on this show, we're going to be changing the format up for a little bit, and we will be doing total consecration preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. That's going to begin on September the 4th right here. I'm going to use a combination of materials. I got a new book. I'm not sure I'll stick to solely to one book, but I'm not sure I'll stick solely to one book. But here's the deal for you. You don't have to worry about buying a book. We are going to be able to do it on the air without a book. That's what I wanted to do. I don't want to make it any more complicated. In the past, when I've done it, the book doesn't arrive. People ask me about the book, and I have no control over when the books arrive. You know, it gets really complicated. So all you need to do is show up, listen to the podcast, and we're going to go through the 33-day preparation right here. You won't need any book. So that's that. September the 4th, Labor Day, right here on the program. Also, if you're a worrier, if you know somebody who's a worrier, make sure you check out my new podcast, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. I just added a new subscription level today for $2 a month. And really, that's the level where I'm saying, can you just help me out to go forward with this thing? I believe in this new podcast. I mean, I believe in it very strongly. It's a good product, and I'm not just saying that because it's mine. I believe that this podcast can help many, many people, and it's something that that I wanted to do for a long time. You can find out more by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can sign up there. You can either sign up. Let me see if I get all this straight. To get the weekly 30-minute podcast, you can sign up to get the weekly 30-minute podcast plus the daily Monday through Friday reminders. You can sign up to get all of that plus the weekly blog that I do. You can get all that plus the video where I answer the questions that you send in. And plus, I just added a new level for $25 a month, a pledge of $25 a month. You not only get everything, all the material, podcast, blog, video, all of it, you get signed copies of each of my 6 books. So that's a great deal. That's $100 value right there. Signed copies, United States shipping only. I can't ship out of the country. It would really cost me an arm and a leg to do that. But there are the different levels available. You can either go to patreon.com/GaryZ, or you can just go to followingthetruth.com and click on the button that says Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, and that'll set you all up. You can immediately access all of that stuff beginning today. So if you're a worrier, or if you know somebody who is a worrier, please point them to that new podcast. All right, time to do the mass readings. They're a little bit longer today. The first reading is from the book of Joshua, beginning in chapter 3, verse 7. If you remember yesterday, we saw Moses who had died. Moses died. He was 120 years old. He never led the Israelites into the promised land. The guy selected to do that was Joshua. And here we go with Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know I am with you as I was with Moses. Now command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to come to a halt in the Jordan when you reach the edge of the waters." So Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that there is a living God in your midst, who at your approach will dispossess the Canaanites. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth will precede you into the Jordan. When the soles of the feet of the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord of the whole earth, touch the water of the Jordan, it will cease to flow. For the water flowing down from the upstream will halt in a solid bank. The people struck their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant ahead of them. No sooner had these priestly bearers of the Ark waded into the waters at the edge of the Jordan, which overflows all its banks during the entire season of the harvest, than the waters flowing from the upstream halted, backing up in a solid mass for a very great distance indeed. From Adam, a city in the direction of Zarethan, while those flowing downstream toward the salt sea of the Arabah disappeared entirely. Thus the people crossed over opposite Jericho. When all Israel crossed over on dry ground, the priests, carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, remained motionless on dry ground in the bed of the Jordan until the whole nation had completed the passage." Now here's a couple things I want to point out. I love this story. This is a great story. Now we see a changing of the guard, if you will. Because God has now said to Joshua, you pick up where Moses left off. And he's got to somehow convince the people to follow him. Because the people are used to following Moses. They barely followed Moses. Now they got a new guy in charge. And one of the things to remember is that the Ark of the Covenant was with the people. That represented the presence of God. That represented the presence of God. Now, the other cool thing about this story, and I use this when I give a talk on overcoming fear. I really like this story because if you notice what happened, the priests of the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they had to touch the water. They had to step into the water of the Jordan. So in other words, the people had to cross over the Jordan River to get to the Promised Land, but the Jordan was still flowing. They had to actually step into the water before the water stopped flowing and the people could cross. Now, what does that tell us in terms of fear? oftentimes, you're not going to know if you can walk on water until you do what? Until you get out of the boat. This is the way the Lord works. You've got to take that first step in faith and trust that He's going to be there. I know it's a scary thing, but that's the way the Lord helps us to grow in faith. You do it a couple times and you start to realize that, hey, He's here for me. He's not going to desert me. It's really important to remember. So keep that in mind if you're facing a challenge in your life. Sometimes you've got to take that step in order for the Lord to really act. In other words, as Mother Angelica used to say, if you don't move, He won't move. So you got to move. So take that step today. If you feel you're supposed to be doing something, you should be stepping out courageously. Don't go doing anything ridiculous, but do something. If you feel called to do it, pray about it, and you still feel called to do it, take that first step and see what happens. The psalm today, Psalm 114, the response is very simple. Alleluia. When Israel came forth from Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of alien tongue, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his domain. The sea beheld and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like the lambs of the flock. Why is it, O Lord, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back? The mountains, that you skip like rams, you hills like the lambs of the flock. The sea beheld and fled. Jordan turned back because of the power of the Lord. He's powerful. He's bigger than any problem that you can face in your life. You feel like you're up against some sort of a monumental challenge. Turn to Him. He's strong. He's powerful. He can help you. Even though it doesn't seem like He will, there's going to be times when you say, He can't help me. He's just not going to come through. I don't feel it. Don't worry about how you feel. Worry about what your faith tells you. Your faith tells you God is all-powerful and He loves you. With those two pieces of information, you're going to be unstoppable. Do it. Trust that He will be there. It's trust. That's why we call it faith. That's why we call it faith. We like guarantees. We like to be able to see things with our eyes. But with faith, you have to see with the eyes of your heart, the eyes of faith. Are not the eyes that are in your head. It's tough sometimes, but it's really worth it. All right, here comes the challenging message. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 21. Peter approached Jesus and asked Him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus answered, I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, Pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, Be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now when his fellow servants saw what happened, they were deeply disturbed. They went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart. When Jesus finished these words, he left Galilee and went to the district of Judea across the Jordan. How's that for a message? It's really clear, isn't it? And keep this in mind. When Jesus said to Peter that he must forgive 77 times, that doesn't mean you get a little notebook and you take you make notes. Okay, let's see, I'm up to 75. Got two more. I'm going to forgive you two more times. No, what that means is infinite. You've got to forgive infinite, an infinite amount of times. You got to forgive always. no exceptions, period. I know it's challenging. But that's where, you know, this is what you have to remember. Just as God was with the people, the Israelites crossing the Jordan River, his presence was with them. That's why they had the Ark of the Covenant. His grace is enough for you to be able to forgive somebody over and over and over again. Keep this in mind, too. When you forgive, it doesn't always have to feel good. You don't have to feel all warm and fuzzy about that person. You don't even have to like them. But out of love, and remember, love is not necessarily a feeling. There's certainly a component sometimes to love that yields feelings or generates feelings, but that's not always the case. So if you forgive somebody, the way you forgive somebody is to say either I forgive you, or if you're not able to talk to that person, you say to yourself or to the Lord, I forgive that person. Lord, please bless them. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. It doesn't matter how you feel about them, because your feelings don't really count. Your feelings are just that. They're feelings. They're not they're morally neutral. And sometimes we get too caught up in our feelings. So there's the message. We have to forgive. Otherwise, we can't expect to be forgiven. If you don't believe me, check out the words of the Lord's Prayer. We will be forgiven to the extent we forgive others. Don't try to do it by yourself. Lord, help me to forgive this person who did this, that, or the other thing to me. That's the way you do it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Deacon Greg Kander will join us to talk about some challenging words from Pope Francis. My name is Gary Zimak, and you are listening to The Gary Zimak Show on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. AARP magazine cites studies showing that dogs can help your fitness efforts. The article states, dog owners who routinely take their pooches for strolls get an extra hour of activity per week. Also noteworthy, the oldest dog walkers, those age 65 plus, walk their dogs longer than any other age group. Dogs have a way of making their needs known, and as such, they might offer us the needed motivation to get moving. If you don't have a dog or can't manage one full-time, maybe you can volunteer at a shelter or offer to walk a friend's dog. But caring for any kind of pet can have beneficial effects. Be open to the healing aspects of life with all of God's creatures. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Several years ago, when I was doing some online writing for Catholic websites, I wrote a blog post, and it was called Pope Francis Makes Me Uncomfortable. And the reason I wrote that was, as someone who tends to get a little complacent in my Catholicism, I tend to think like, oh man, I got this all down. I'm doing such a good job. The Holy Father would repeatedly come out with a zinger or some comment that would make me feel uncomfortable, make me look at myself and say, you know what? I'm not really that perfect. Well, recently the Pope is at it again, and he made a comment that a lot of Catholics think they're perfect and they despise others, and this is sad. Man, that is a powerful statement. And recently, Deacon Greg Kander wrote a post about this. He called attention to this. Deacon Greg is a Roman Catholic deacon for the Diocese of Brooklyn, and for nearly three decades, he was a writer and producer for CBS News. He now serves as multimedia editor for Catholic Near East Welfare Association, and he's a regular blogger at aletheia.org. Deacon Greg joins us on the program now to talk a little about this. Deacon Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
Thanks so much for coming on the show to talk about this great post that you put up. Perfect Catholics, Deacon Greg. You know, this is ruffling a few feathers, right, yeah. To say the least.
It certainly is. You know, when I put that up, also posted on social media, on Facebook and Twitter and all that.
Yeah.
And the response was interesting. I heard from a lot of people who said, you know, this is horrible. Who is he talking about? And I said to people, all you have to do is spend any time on social media, yeah, and you'll see exactly who he's talking,
yeah,
about.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've talked about that a lot on this program. This is a favorite topic of ours. That's why I'm really glad you'd come on the show to address this. We can all fall victim to this, I think, at times. We go on social media, we post, even if it's with good intentions, then somebody attacks us, and then, boom, the gloves are off, and we go at them. This is a real problem, isn't it?
It is. I think there's a kind of a polarization in the church now, and it's being played out, you know, tragically, very much in the public sphere,
right,
where you have Catholics bashing Catholics over, you know, some of the things that people are going after one another for are really so, in the large scheme of things, unimportant. Things like holding hands during the Our Father.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one, Deacon. That's a big
wearing
one.
Wearing veils in church.
Yeah.
You know, receiving communion on the tongue. These are, the, you know, the hills that people want to die on over the faith. And it's sad to see Catholics going at one another like this and to judge one another so harshly. And it reflects badly on us, and I think this is the kind of mentality that the Holy Father was talking about.
And there is just something about the way he just has this knack for shaking us all up. He shakes me up. He really does make me uncomfortable, because there are times that I just get very complacent, and I really do start to feel good about myself as a Catholic. And then he'll talk about, well, what are you doing for the poor? And it's like, ah, man, he got me again.
Yeah.
But I think that's good for us, don't you?
You know, I did the exact same thing shortly after he became Pope. I put up a blog post where I said, this Pope is getting to me. And he gets under your skin, and he challenges us in ways that I think a lot of us aren't comfortable with. And that's a good thing. You know, you shouldn't be completely comfortable.
Right.
Once you start to get comfortable, you become lazy, and you take things for granted, and you start to backslide, and that's not a good thing.
Deacon Greg, what do you think we can do? You know, we talk about this social media problem. I had Teresa Tomeo talking on it. She was on the show discussing it. So many people have come on because I'm really concerned about it. What can I do? I'm one person. What can I do to try to bring about peace in the world? You know, starting with me, starting on social media. What's the best approach for me as somebody who's active on social media, especially when I do care about morality? I do care about the state of the world. There are times I feel like I should post something. How do I avoid being negative and maybe causing problems?
Well, once again, the Holy Father, I think, has pointed the way. You know, we had just a few months ago, we completed the Year of Mercy.
Right.
And he's been calling on us to live merciful lives and to throw ourselves on the mercy of God, and we need to be more merciful toward one another.
Right.
And we need to look at one another with love and with hope instead of with condemnation and judgment. And I do think it has to begin with all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop Christopher Coyne gave a wonderful homily a few years ago at a gathering of Catholic journalists of the Catholic Press Association, and he's talked about this very specific problem and how we need to bring a different mindset to working and engaging in social media and being a lot more humble and a lot more tolerant and not always trying to have the last word and get into fights with people all the time, because, as I keep telling people, it's a big church, and there has to be room for everybody.
Yeah, and one of the things that I notice, and you point this out, is we are seeing Catholics picking on other Catholics, hand-holding at the Our Father. That is a big thing. We hear that all the time, the selection of hymns. You know, you like this hymn, we need to bring this other hymn back, and the veils, and the not wearing the veils, and the communion on the tongue versus on the hand. I mean, do you think that we have I think I know this answer, but we've taken it a little bit too far, haven't we? If the church says something is acceptable, that's really not my business to start criticizing, is it?
No, and of course not. And we need to be more accepting of people whose practices might be different. As I keep telling people, I can never know what's in the heart of the person standing next to me at Mass.
Right.
And where they're coming from. And some of these people who are being so loudly condemned from one side or the other, and you get it from both sides.
Yes.
That person, you know, may be a saint, and I don't know it. And I'm not willing to see that. You know, it could be a better Catholic than I am. And you know, we need to think about people differently and think more openly toward them, I think.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I noticed, I was lukewarm for many years, went through the motions, and I had a pretty big conversion experience. And I, at that point, I started really trying to learn a lot of the details of my Catholic faith, things which I ignored for years. And Deacon Greg, what happened in my life was not necessarily a good thing, because what happened was I was focusing so much on the intellectual knowledge and learning more and more that I started to look down on others at church, thinking, well, you know what, they don't know this, or look, they're receiving communion in the hand, they obviously don't get it. And then it wasn't until I really had this personal encounter with Christ, I started to see things differently. And I still struggle with that. But do you find that to be the case sometimes, where we start out with good intentions, I want to learn more about my faith, and before you know it, we're looking down at other Catholics who we think don't get it?
Yeah, and you know, I was just glancing at Christopher Coyne's homily that we just talked about, yeah. And he made such a good point, and I try to keep this in mind myself when I'm engaging in social media, but it's a good thing to remember in living our lives as Catholics in the world. He asked the question, is what I'm doing building up or tearing down?
Wow.
And I think we need to have that mindset much more than we do. You know, is what I'm doing contributing to the church? Am I building up the body of Christ, or am I inflicting more wounds on it?
Wow.
And that's a challenge for all of us to keep in mind and to carry with us, I think.
It sure is. Deacon Greg Kander, I really appreciate you coming on the program. I've been a fan of yours for a long time, and I'm so glad we're able to connect and get you on the show. If anybody wants to follow more of your work, where's the best place online?
I am at Aletheia, Aletheia.org.
Okay, very good. And I'm going to have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Thank you for being a voice of reason. I love following your online post. You do a great job, Deacon. And I hope we can get you on the show again sometime.
Happy to be here, Gary. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, my friend, Deacon Greg Kandra from Aletheia.org. Dave Parker, he made some really good points, didn't he?
Yes, very clear, succinct, and pretty simple if we just follow them.
Yeah, yeah. Am I building up the church, or am I tearing it down?
Perfect.
Right.
Perfect,
I mean, yes. I might have good intentions, and I might really be bugged by something.
Absolutely.
But
yeah, I know.
Maybe think twice about what I'm about to post.
Yeah, because if I think I'm building up, but it's filtered through something that makes me negative, it's not really building up.
Yeah.
We have to check ourselves.
One of the things that the Holy Father does really good, he is in touch with people and he tries to meet them where they are. I think we could all stand to learn something from that. Great, great stuff from Deacon Greg Kandra. We will have his information linked at spiritinthemorning.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 18:21, Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus responded, "Not seven times, but 77 times." He then likened the kingdom of heaven to a king who forgave the debt of a servant. That same servant then refused to forgive the debt of one of his fellow servants. When the king heard of this, he demanded payment from the servant to whom he had given mercy. Jesus then reminded them that his Father will do the same to us if we don't forgive each other from our hearts. I'll bet you have heard this passage many times. Now, have you ever forgiven the same person 77 times? How about 7 times? Nor have I. But we've certainly asked the Lord's forgiveness that many times and more. All the more reason to forgive each other. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Welcome back to the program. It really is a tough message, but it's one that we just can't ignore. We have to forgive one another. Remember, don't try to do it yourself. Ask the Lord for the grace to be able to do it. Thanks again for tuning into the show. Remember, if you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Check out my website, followingthetruth.com, where you can find the new Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled podcast, plus much more. And until we meet again, I want you to remember that wherever you go, no matter where you are, the Lord is with you. He's right by your side. Make sure you turn around and say hi. We'll talk to you next time. God bless.